This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. American sugar production supports over 151,000 jobs and contributes more than $23 billion in annual economic activity. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with NFU's Rob LaRue next. American sugar beet and sugarcane farmers help keep grocery store shelves stocked with sugar, an American-made all-natural ingredient. American sugar production supports more than 151,000 jobs and contributes more than $23 billion in annual economic activity. Family farming legacies, American manufacturing jobs, and our national food security need strong farm and trade policies. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Members of the National Farmers Union wrapped up their 124th annual convention last week in New Orleans. NFU President Rob LaRue says farmers are facing a number of economic headwinds that are now being amplified by the war with Iran. LaRue says the challenges are easily defined.
Bills, debt, and a whole lot of uncertainty about what's on the horizon right now. It is immediate pain about trying to make sure that we can get another crop in the ground and still be able to pay the bills.
If Congress doesn't act with additional assistance, what will be the consequences for farms and ranches across the U.S.?
We will see prospective farmers step away from this industry. We'll see beginning farmers not be able to hold on, and we're going to see even more established farmers continuing to eat away at their equity and potentially buy out. This is going to create a massive consolidation all across rural America.
You just finished your convention, and your delegates had the opportunity to talk about all of these things. What is a wish list, or what is an absolute need from your perspective, from both the administration and also from Congress?
It's some immediate attention. So things like the bridge payment, that kind of assistance is sorely needed right now to kind of stem the bleeding in a lot of parts of the industry. On top of that, it's more fundamental changes. And so that's making sure that even as Congress is working its way through a skinny farm bill and they've made some adjustments to the underlying safety net, the fact is that that's a safety net that was written for a very different time. And although it has been tweaked and improved, and we appreciate that effort, it still is not meeting the moment. And so we really need to take a fundamental look at ways to improve the safety net to keep farmers out there going from one year to the next. And then even beyond that, it's taking a look at some of the laws that we've had on the books for years, like our antitrust laws, to make sure that these markets and that we're operating in, everything from our inputs and the rising costs there to where we're selling into, that those markets are truly competitive. Not looking for any special treatment here, but making sure that there is a fair and competitive market is going to be really important to making sure that we can improve conditions for farmers and ranchers.
Well, the Senate Ag Committee had a hearing looking at creating domestic demand and talking about the agriculture situation as it stands. And Senate Chair John Bozeman said that Arkansas, his home state, had the distinction of more Chapter 12 bankruptcies than any other state. This gives credence to your suggestion that this is a critical time and a critical moment for the industry.
We are hugely appreciative of Senator Bozeman's leadership in bringing this topic to light through the hearing, because the fact is that our current system, which in many aspects is geared towards selling bulk commodities onto the world market, that has so many challenges right now. The fact is that that's a losing proposition for farmers out there, and it's not sustainable. So trying to find those more domestic markets, and particularly value-added products, is going to enable us to, you know, get a bigger share of that food dollar.
If Congress is able, and I say this as Chairman Bozeman and Senator Hoeven have both talked about additional assistance. Other legislators have talked about that as well. But a GOP proposal would be about another $15 billion to be offered in assistance, perhaps attached to a piece of legislation to continue to fund the war effort with Iran. How much difference would that $15 billion make?
In the short term, it's going to make a big difference, and it's going to be important. And Congress getting anything through is always a giant question these days. That's been true for a while. But I think, even looking at what you saw with, support from, Ranking Member, Angie Craig over in the House, and, her proposal also included some direct assistance out there, I think that you might find, bipartisan support, and certainly lawmakers representing, rural and farming communities, understand the immediate need, and hopefully folks are beginning to appreciate that there needs to be some structural changes for the long term as well.
So input prices are one side of the equation. There's not just a question now of the price of fertilizer, but even the availability of fertilizer with the war with Iran. The input cost, this is not a one-year thing. How many years has this been going on? And does the Farmers Union support the Department of Justice investigation as to the reason that these prices are moving higher?
Well, certainly we've seen input markets, you know, fluctuate over time. That said, I have never seen a time in recent history where those prices haven't been creeping up. They can spike over in moments like we've seen here more recently. Even as prices go up, our input prices go up. Now we're in a cycle where prices are going down, but those input costs are staying stubbornly high for lots of reasons. You talk about the situation we have going on in Iran right now, and I think that, you know, this has multiple effects. It has not only the direct effect of limiting product coming through that region and the impact that has on the global scale of driving up markets, but then you have the added factors of the cost of petroleum going up, and that's going to feed into all of those inputs, irregardless of markets or fertilizer actually moving through that region. And then on top of that, anytime you have this much chaos in the markets and kind of a situation like we have, that gets factored into those costs. When we had the on-again, off-again tariffs at the beginning of this administration, folks were building in additional cost into their input products because they didn't know what was going to happen. I think that uncertainty is going to be another one of those factors right now. So you have not only the impact of physical product not being able to move through, and that creating rising demand that leads to higher costs in the markets. Then you have the added impact of petroleum, and then the uncertainty, which also creates additional margin. All of that is stacked up against the farmer.
We produced, according to USDA, 17 billion bushels of corn last year, 4.25 billion bushels of soybeans. Brazil has been on a tear of record production of both corn and of soybeans. The export market, the global economy, is tough for U.S. producers to be able to sell into. So what are your thoughts on global trade, and how significant is it, following off of this Senate hearing, that we come up with domestic demand for the crops that we produce?
the biggest impact that we can make is domestically. And that's everything from investing in additional and further processing to making sure that we're supporting local regional markets, continued support, even deepening support for biofuels industry. That demand is going to impact price. I think I keep coming back to these fundamental structural changes as well. That's why I think when we look at the way that we support farmers in the farm bill and in the safety net, I think that price and this play with supply has to be a part of that formula so that we can take out a little bit of this incredible uncertainty that we've been facing. Otherwise, we're going to see dramatic changes in rural America.
The Farmers Union has been very vocal about the lack of competition or the monopolies in the ag supply chain. Minority Leader Schumer has a piece of legislation that would require meat companies to be of one meat, not several. What are the consequences of doing that, and what are the consequences if it doesn't happen from the Farmers Union perspective?
Well, we support all efforts to enforce our antitrust laws. These laws have been on the books since the days of Teddy Roosevelt, beyond, and they're there for a purpose, and that is to make sure that the U.S. Kind of market, which is based around competition, is truly functional. That hasn't been the case, arguably since the 80s. We've seen a rapid consolidation all across the economy, but certainly in agriculture. So whether it's bills to break up concentration when it's gotten too high, or whether it's the department's continued talk about investigating fertilizer markets for competition. Administration has also signaled further investigation into beef packers and their markets. We support all of those efforts. We continue to be a part of litigation with the cattle lawsuit out there. Farmers Union wants to make sure that these markets are open and competitive and fair, and we're going to continue to do everything we can.
Rob, I'll move to your convention in just a moment and some of the things that the delegates mentioned, but if it's okay, I'd like to move into the farm bill. And credit is an issue because the wolf is at the door now for a number of producers, and they're also facing, as they're looking at planting decisions and trying to secure operating loans, it's a challenge now. What are things that could come in Farm Bill 2.0 as it relates to credit that would be of benefit for farmers now?
I think it's multiple. I think these moratoriums and trying to create ways for whether they're young and beginning producers or more established producers, making sure that in this huge credit crunch and financial kind of crisis that we have going on right now, that we don't have this complete erosion of equity out there, which has, you know, the effect of so many of these producers just not being able to hang on. So anything that can be done in that space, I think, is going to be really important. And obviously, we also support increasing the levels of loans and so forth. We already have a number of systems in place that were hugely supportive of from the 1980s crisis. And so doubling down on whatever we can do to keep farmers on the land, make sure that we can weather the storm this year and hopefully put in place systems to improve conditions out there and price so that we begin to turn the tide as we go into the following year.
What was left out of budget reconciliation and the work that was done last summer? What are things that are red check marks for Farmers Union for the ag committees to resolve moving forward?
If we all support the notion of value added and trying to increase this investment in our communities to make sure whether it's further processing or other investment to have farmers be have stronger markets regionally, then we need a massive investment in that. So an investment in those facilities. We saw some of that in the last administration around meat and poultry processing, but I think that we could be doing a lot more in that space. And so that investment is going to be something that's going to be hugely important. I think, you know, we're really pleased to see the authorization that's moving through on local and local food procurement and purchase and processing. And I think make sure that there are dollars and federal investment in that is going to be the next step along the way. We really appreciate the improvements in the reference prices. But again, I just keep coming back to the fact that it is time in this moment to really examine the current safety net and evaluate whether or not there isn't a better way to fundamentally support particularly crop prices.
What does agriculture look like if we don't open the gate on renewable fuels?
If we don't make this investment in biofuels, in these rural communities, in our producers, if we don't at the same time make fundamental changes to the way that we support through the Farm Bill those farmers, you will see such a consolidation in these rural communities. There's already a huge amount of investor capital out there that is going in the purchase of farmland, and I think that we will see a level of consolidation and buying up farmland out there that is going to just drive rural communities even further into crisis. The ripple effect is going to be immense.
So these are issues that your delegates came to New Orleans with fully aware of. So now inside the convention, and as you were talking about policy, there were some special orders of business that you presented and were approved. Share with us what delegates said.
Well, it's not going to come as a huge surprise to anybody in agriculture right now. But one of the driving issues for all delegates was the farm economy. And so, you know, one of the biggest special orders that we had was related to making sure that we can keep farmers on the land. So that's everything that you and I have been talking about here. It is making sure that there is immediate assistance, whether it's bridge payments or a similar impact, that investment in our rural communities and in domestic markets, in fundamentally looking at the way that we create a safety net and that enforcement of antitrust laws, creating competitive markets along with the enforcement. So it's what we're all facing right now. It's what we're all dealing with. And that was the loudest message that came out of our convention.
One item that really stands out to me is this thought of family farming and the roots of democracy.
It is no secret to any of us right now that our society has become pretty mean, if you want to put it one way. Jeff, you're either with me or you're against me. There is no middle ground in so many of the conversations that we have going on that has spilled over into our communities. It's spilled over into our lawmakers. And at the end of the day, it doesn't benefit any of us. At Farmers Union, for generations now, we have been strong proponents of not only the democratic way of life, but making sure that with that, that there is this continuing, you know, if you want to call it, as some have characterized it, the common sense of the common man. It is being able to have a conversation, to have discourse and disagreement with each other so that we can come out with a better position. And our members at the convention, looking at all of the challenges that we have facing our country and our communities right now, really wanted to emphasize the need for this democratic process to stay alive, not only within our organization, but also within our communities, with our neighbors, and with our country. And so they issued this special order in order to drive that message home.
You also launched the Farmers Union Next Generation.
We have long supported our beginning and young producers through Farmers Union in a number of education programs, but we took this opportunity this year to really drive home an even greater focus on this next generation, because that's who we're fighting for right now. For all of the very real impacts that the farm economy right now has on existing producers and those long established producers, if we don't get this right, if we don't meet the moment that is facing us, then that next generation will not have the opportunity, will not be able to sustain our food supply and our way of life. And we've got to continue to double and further down our efforts to make sure that the next generation is seen, is heard, and is prepared and ready.
The USMCA is set for review this summer. Where does Farmers Union stand on trade between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico?
We've seen so much chaos and disruption with the effects of the tariffs. We saw the impact of, you know, obviously on the Chinese market. And we've got our biggest trading partners across so many items to Canada and Mexico. We've got to get this right. At the end of the day, though, we also need to make sure that it does truly benefit farmers out there, that we're not, again, perpetuating the cycle of selling products at a loss. And so at the end of the day, making sure that prices is a big component of that. It shouldn't surprise anyone that Farmers Union continues to also support policies such as mandatory country of origin labeling, an issue that has created some challenges with our partners in Canada and Mexico. And yet both of those countries also support the notion of country of origin labeling for their products. So I think that if we can build that in, as well as making sure that USMCA going forward is one that truly benefits family farmers, we need markets that are going to be successful and make sure that we can sell our products and keep that price strong.
So it's the clash between monopoly and efficiency. A proposal is on the table that would merge Norfolk Southern and Union Pacific.
Well, in full disclosure, I have a brother who works for Norfolk Southern and feels very strongly about this. At the end of the day, this monopoly power is not going to benefit any of the individuals, whether they be the workers with the railroads or folks like us in farm country that rely on them to handle our products. We are squarely against further consolidation across railroads. This feels like one of those situations where we have been here before. in the earlier part of the 20th century, I hope we learn from our mistakes.
Rob, the dollars and cents are one thing in the farm business, but the emotional impact of this farm economy is one that has been well noted. The Farmers Union has spoken out on that before. And where do you stand now, especially as this crucible continues to heat up?
As we see farm debt at historic levels, as we see farm bankruptcies continuing to rise, and we know that underneath all of those statistics, there is another huge amount of farmers who are deeply worried and stressed out there. And so we want to make sure that we continue to emphasize the need for farmer stress training, farmer mental health access, to care for farmer mental health. And Farmers Union, along with Farm Bureau, Farm Credit, so many folks within the ag system, I don't think we can bring this issue up up enough here. Whatever we can do to make sure that as we reach out to our neighbors to make sure that they're okay, that we are equipped, because not only do we need farmers to be able to be financially viable going through this year into next year, we want folks to make sure that no one is harmed and that our communities remain strong and resilient.
Well, Rob LaRue, congratulations on being elected to another two-year term for the National Farmers Union and the support of your group. Thank you for taking time after the convention to spend with us here on Open Mic. You've been here before, and you know that on Open Mic, the guest gets the last word.
We've got so many challenges ahead of us, but there's also continuing great opportunities, and certainly Farmers Union members, I think, are ready to do the work necessary to make it happen.
Our thanks to Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. American Sugar's production supports over 151,000 jobs and contributes more than $23 billion in annual economic activity. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Dowling.